Thank you so much, Pastor Tom, and my friend Rob, and everybody here. You know, I have just a short time, and I know Pastor Tom, so I'm ready because he's sitting here. But I just want to use this time profitably. But what I cannot help not to say is to thank you people. When I was coming here, a friend of mine who studied from the U.S., I don't know which state he went to, told him, you know, Jotham, you must be ready to be alone for 3 years with your wife. No one is going to take care of you. And don't be surprised, even people who claimed to know you when they came to Uganda, some of them might not even greet you when they meet you. I said, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to seminary. That's it. But I was surprised. I was shocked. My first day I stepped my foot at Grace Church campus here, everyone was interested in me. I'm like, what's going on here? Everyone is asking me. So my friend brought me to Joint Heirs here. When I came in here, everyone was asking about me. I said, no, I'm not leaving this class. I thought maybe this is just a unique class. And that's why I never visited any other class because, yeah, somebody warned me. So when I found people who were caring for me, I said, no, I'm not getting away from here. I must stay here with these people. So thank you so much. Much has been said about my name, Jotham, but I want just to say a little bit about my name, Chiza. And that is really going to help with my introduction of what I'm going to say this morning. My elder brother, Jay Street. I'm saying elder, you are all saying it. He's younger than you, it's true. But my name, Chiza, means someone who follows the twins. So my elder sisters were twins. So from my culture, anyone who is a twin, I respect him or her. A name Chiza is given to either a boy or a girl. So long as you follow twins, then you must take that title. It's a title name, so I got it. So when Jay Street was giving his message here, I said I must build on what he started. And you all remember very well, he started us on what it means to be a joint heir. What does it mean? And then from that, he gave us our responsibilities as joint heirs. What you should not forget is that we are double joint heirs. We are joint heirs by nature now and joint heirs by kiras. So because you are in this class, joint heirs, and you are joint heir by what Jesus did for you, so this message is for you. So I just want to add one more responsibility to what it means to be a joint heir, what we have to do as joint heirs. And from that responsibility, I want to show you where I want you to apply that responsibility from. That's what I'm going to do this morning. Our text is Jude. Open your Bibles, if you can, to Jude. It's only one chapter, the last book to Revelation. It's just a tiny, small book, one chapter. So that's what I want to look at this morning. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 4, only 4 verses. Jude 1 to 4. Jude, a bond servant of Christ, of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to those who are the called, loved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you, about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend honestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand been marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. That's Judas' message. And our responsibility is found in verse 3. This is the responsibility. I just want to expand on it a little bit because we have little time. Judas is saying in verse 3, beloved, and who are the beloved? The joint heirs. In verse 1, he's saying, Jude, a bond servant, and then to those who are the called, beloved, and kept. So if you are a joint heir, you must know your position is very safe. Very safe. You are beloved. You are kept. You are called. And therefore, if you are one of those people, if you belong to that group, Jude is calling you to do something. And you must do it. Because it's a command, not from Jude, but from God. Verse 3, Jude is saying, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation. Look here. Jude planned to write about something different. And maybe he was sitting behind his table with his pen in the hand. And he was going to write about salvation, our common salvation. I don't know what Jude was going to talk about salvation, but I think he was going to praise the grace of God and how much God has done for us and the benefits we have and how we can enjoy this salvation. But then something happened to him. He's saying that I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend honestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. I felt the necessity. The word used from the original language for necessity is more than just necessity. This was a force. The word used there means something that forced him. It forced him to change what you are writing, write about something different. And what did the voice tell him? That was the voice of God. What did the voice told him? Write, tell the beloved, tell the kept, tell the called to contend. And the word contend, we all know, means to do what? To fight. The word to contend means to fight. Means to wage war. Means to stand strong. Contend for what? For faith. And how do we contend? Honestly. That is Jude's message. So, my point, I said, I want to add only one responsibility. As a joint heir, you have a responsibility of fighting. You know, last week, I met with a friend. He's American. He told me they are doing mission work. For him, he's in Russia. That's where he goes for a short mission trips or something like that. And so they go to Argentina and like that. But he told me what moved him that way. Some preacher went to their church, he's American also. And he told them, you know what? Out of the budget of all Christians in the world, all the money that Christians have in the world, 90% of it is in America. And then this guy told them, now, what are you doing with the 90% of the money that we have here in America? And this guy told me from that day decided to go out. And that is part of fighting. We don't only fight with money. We fight with prayer. We fight by anything. Fighting here, Jude never specified how you would fight. Though when you go down to verses, like starting from verse 14 going down, he shows you how to handle the people you are fighting. Jude goes on in verse 4 to identify for us the people to fight, all our enemies, This is what he's saying. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked for this condemnation. For this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we to fight? We have already been invaded. Let me tell you this. These people don't have horns like cows. They don't have tails like dogs. They look like us. And you never know, there might be one here. In seminaries, they are there. In churches, they are there. But they are so destructive. And some of them, we know them clearly. I can mention some of the groups we already know. We all know about Roman Catholicism. Those people began as part of us. They began as members of the church, as Christians. But now when you look at what they are teaching, it's so disastrous. We have the so-called prosperity charismatic gospel. That's what I'm going in for. And that's my message to you. That's why I've decided to remind you of what Jude is saying. I want to read a quote from the New International. This is the New International Dictionary of Pentecostal and Charismatic Movements. This book was published in 2002. A copy is in the library here. This is what this guy is saying. It is not possible to think of Protestantism in Uganda without considering the role played by the Anglican Church, the first Protestant denomination to evangelize the Buganda people. The East African Revival, as it is called, had its roots in the Anglican Church and has also given place to an acceptance of the charismatic movement in the Anglican Church of Uganda, even when what it is called charismatic is understood variously by its members. In 1977, there was a charismatic revival among the youth, especially in the north of the country, that spanned all the denominations. Like a month ago, 2 months ago when I was here, I said, you hardly find a church which is not charismatic in Uganda today. And that's what is recorded by this man. Because they found fertile ground. They are promising heaven on earth. They are promising everyone to be rich. And then people are poor. People are diseased. They want a good life. So they tell them, if you do this, now believe and get money and be rich. All charismatic guys here, rich guys, Benny Hini is a hero in Uganda. Creflo Dollar, all those guys, they come from here, come to Uganda, tell people you are going to get rich. They have radio stations. The town I'm going to, you can find like 100 churches, charismatic churches. Every church is charismatic. But how are we going to handle this situation? What are we going to do with this challenge? Jude is telling us we have to do what? To fight. So my message is, I'm appealing to all of you to join me, to go with me to Uganda. You might not be there physically, but you can be there spiritually. Pray for us. Pray for us. This is a message. This is our responsibility. Jude said, beloved, the called, the kept, I wrote to you to contend. Please, we have many wars to fight as believers. And if you sit in your house and think all is well, after all I'm saved, I'm just waiting for Christ to go to heaven, then you are not a joint heir. you must make sure that you are fighting somewhere. You must make sure that you are fighting for the advancement of the kingdom. So that's the message that I wanted to bring this morning. Just to remind you that as joint heirs, we have a responsibility. We have so many responsibilities. But our main responsibility, as for Jude, is fighting. Jude has only one message. Fight. And then he describes who to fight, how to fight. And then he ends by glorifying God. That is Jude's message. So I'm begging you, pray for us, support us in any way you can, and do everything. Not only us. Let me even not just be selfish, just talking about us only. But there are many people here. We have you people, you are situated in a good place, that you are near a seminary. People come from everywhere in the world and don't get tired. It's a privilege. It's a chance that you are pressed here where there's a seminary, where every day someone is coming to you saying, please support, please support. And I know you support many people. But why do you do that and you are not getting tired? Because you know you are a joint heir. You are kept. You are loved. And you are called to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be joint heirs. And we know that there's much to be done, as Jude is telling us to fight for your faith, for our faith, for the word that you gave us. We pray that you aid us that way, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.